Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, you're listening to KCMD Portland. 503-733-2970. Thank you so much. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley. It's Monday, March 13th, 2006. We are back after 11 months or so. So here's what we're going to do. We got some phone calls to get to. We have emails to get to. Peter Carlin coming up later on the hour. We're going to talk about The Sopranos, which also returned last night. We got a few musical surprises we're going to roll out later as well. So my question, we'll get some of these phone calls here in a second. It's 503-733-2970. And I'll tell you right now, the phones are going to be busy today. So if it rings, let it ring. We'll get to it. And the phone lines are going to be congested, I would imagine, for the next few days. So you're just going to have to roll with it. 503-733-2970, broadcasting from high atop the bottom of the coin tower here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Before we do anything else, let's check in with Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Hello again from high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, live. Yes, as incredible as that may seem, we are live from our new studios at 9:70 a.m. CBS Radio presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Secretary of Health and Human Services Michael Levitt recommends that you and I and everyone start storing canned tuna and powdered milk under our beds. Even if you don't eat it already.
You know why he's saying that? I'll give you... Let me see if you can finish this.
Yes.
Mike Levitt, who is recommending that everyone have a year's supply of canned goods, is a... Anyone?
Vegan.
No.
Hoarder?
No. Not your crazy grandfather.
Democrat.
No. Okay. All right. Mike Levitt.
Mormon.
Who, yes, there you go.
Well, that was a lucky guess.
Mormon. No, because Mike Levitt used to be the governor of Utah.
Oh.
And, you know, it is part of... Oh, it's part of the Mormon belief that you got to have a year's supply of canned goods because Satan's going to be loosed on the earth for a year and there'll be a battle for men's souls and you got to have Starkist.
Really?
That's it. I'm not making it up. You got to have a year's supply of canned goods because after the time of the rapture, Tidyman's will not be open. And so you got to.
If they were smart, the first thing that they would confiscate would be can openers.
The first thing Satan's going to do is close the food king. So you will not be able to eat anything. So you got to have it all in the basement there.
So anyway. The deadly bird flu is approaching. Ready or not, here it comes. It is spreading much faster than first predicted after one wild flock of birds to another, an airborne delivery system that the government cannot stop. The government cannot stop the birds.
We're all going to die.
There is no way you can protect the United States by building a big cage around it and preventing
they
the
should,
wild
they should totally build
it.
A gigantic bird cage. That's exactly... You hit on it right there.
Yeah.
It seems obvious. Of course... They're birds,
but
you keep birds out with cages.
But listen to this. All birds who are found to be involved in this will be destroyed, says Richard Love of the National Chicken Council. There is such a thing.
Imagine being able to wake up and work on the National... How could you function sexually with your wife if your job was working in the National Chicken Council? It's like we had that guy...
Smell like 11 secret herbs and spices.
Okay, but I think they're passing over the most obvious solution. Birds. Cages.
Yeah.
Bird, it's what you keep birds in with. It's what you keep birds out with. When he says you can't keep birds out with a giant cage, that seems like that's the only way you could keep them out. Get all... Look,
why not let a bunch of cats loose?
Can I just call a spade a spade? Can I speak bluntly and honestly?
Mm-hmm.
If you already are putting up cages and walls to keep out Mexicans, what's one more cage keep out something that's going to kill you? Mexicans don't kill anybody. Well, I mean, they do, some of them. So do white people. I'm digging myself in. My point is that Pat Buchanan and George Bush and everybody along the southern states, they're putting up walls to keep out Mexicans, right? That's what they're doing.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're going to keep out Mexicans, who it seems like, you know, they just want to come and work and be happy, then it seems like you might as well just put up a thing to keep out the birds that are going to kill. We're going to be bleeding out of our eyes. I don't want that. Let's move on.
All right, well, here's the sports story.
Not that I'm equating birds with Mexicans, you understand. I'm just saying. I'm sorry?
Would this be a jock watch?
I'm not sure what this is.
What is the story?
It's about sports.
I haven't heard this theme in so long.
Let's do it.
Here's your jock watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. You hit that post. Your face.
I'm a Packer. I'm a Ram. I'm a Cowboy. God damn.
Wait for it.
Shower time!
Ugh. Hi, sports fans. Former ASU lineman and NFL player Jeremy Snett is set to join a new team, the U.S. Marines. The former pro football player was once ASU, I guess he was an ASU player or something, and Arizona Cardinals safety Pat Tillman's roommate, and is following in his footsteps in the U.S. military.
Yeah, that's not going to end badly.
He explains why he won't leave the NFL for active military duty. Oh, why?
I'm just giving back to all those who have given me so much, the ability to sit here and give this interview. You know, the Marine Corps has been around for over 200 years, and I'm just following in the footsteps of every other ordinary man who's you know, filled the boots of a Marine.
Yep.
He's so dead.
So dead. He wants to follow in the footsteps of a dead guy?
I don't mean to speak ill of our war effort. I try to be supportive, but you're dead. Dead. You, and look, the only thing you have to do to understand that he's dead is to ask yourself if this was a film. It's totally like the 2 days away from retirement, huh? Or like, you know, like when you're watching the Vietnam movie and the guy's like, did you ever show you a picture of my little lady back home? My rotation's up in a week. Dead. So that's this guy, you know, because what, he's an NFL player or something?
Yes.
You're hosed, pal. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Time for the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oklahoma.
Excellent.
How appropriate.
You know a story's going to be good when the dateline is Tulsa.
A small Kansas church known for its anti-gay protests said it'll still picket on the day of soldiers' funerals, but won't violate new state laws that limit when and where such can take place. We're not going to get arrested. We obey the law, says Shirley Phelps / Roper, an attorney and member of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka.
I wouldn't think she'd be allowed. She's a member of that church. I wouldn't think she'd be allowed to have two last names.
I guess not. But this is the church headed by the Reverend Fred Phelps.
I love that guy. Man, you want to talk about a guy who is just, he's a mother load. He's an all-seeing, all-giving wealth of stories. He's the loaves and fishes of nutcase Christian news. I mean, he's a well that never goes dry.
Well, Westboro Church has outraged one of communities across the nation by showing up at soldiers' funerals with signs that read, quote, God hates fags, unquote, or, quote, God made IEDs, a reference to roadside bombs. Members of the congregation attend soldiers' funerals who are struck down, and it said they were struck down by God for defending a nation that tolerates homosexuality.
Now you gotta sit. Now you gotta do it. Homosexuality. You gotta really push it back there.
In response, several states have passed or considered legislation restricting when and where protesters may demonstrate at funerals. Violators can be filed or jailed. Phelps claims that church members won't be deterred by the new legislation, saying, quote, "Any nation that tolerates such widespread deviance and sodomy deserves to be emulated in a fire of hell for all eternity. It's part of God's plan."
Excellent. There's your religious nutcase one. Fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show is back. We're here Monday, March 13th, 2006. Don't forget what I like is coming up. It really is just a fantastic. I got to say this now. It really, and I don't say this. This is not colored by the fact that I work here, man. But if you've been wandering out there just in the desert alone, nothing to listen to, nothing to lighten up your dreary day, sit there and listen to goddamn Al Franken or something. And so you got this, man. You got Noon to Three Us and then Lycus and then Henry. Things are happening. Life is good. And then Kramer, who's on from 10 to 11, who's fantastic. If you guys haven't heard Jim Kramer, Jim Kramer, who does the show, he does the show here that's on from 10 to 11. And he was parodied on Arrested Development, actually. If you guys watched Arrested Development and they would show the guy on TV who was setting things on fire and hitting the gong and talking about the Bluth companies, I am moving the Bluth stock from Don't Sell to Iffy. That's that guy. That's Jim Cramer. That's who that was supposed to be. He does a show right here from 10 to 11. He sort of sounds like Quentin Tarantino, and he's got that He's got that great sort of raw radio thing where you can actually hear the saliva hitting the microphone. So you should check it out.
He's the Ellie guy.
He is. He's sort of the Scott Farrell of financial shows. You should listen to that from 10 to 11. Let's get some calls here. Then we'll break. Then we'll do the top five. Then we'll talk to Peter Carlin. It's 503-733-2970. Rick Emerson Show, part of CBS Radio. Who's this?
This is Steve.
Steve, how are you?
How you doing?
My brother, I'm rolling. What do you got?
Great to have you back on the air.
Thank you.
And did you start up today?
Today we started, about 2 hours and 10 minutes ago. Today is our first day back. Thank you.
God, it's great. Is Sarah still with you?
Is she? Well, let's see. Yes, there she is right there.
There she is. Oh, and she's still on the TV, too.
She is. She's doing
it. Oh, she is looking smoking hot.
She's
looking good.
Missed that, Sarah. So you're getting up at what, 3:30 in the morning now?
Yeah.
She's getting up way early to do the news, then come over and do you. When's your next listeners' party?
We've only been back for like 2 hours, man. Get up.
Well,
we haven't even packed our stuff yet. I don't even know where my desk is.
So we are
already the salespeople here. I will tell you this: the salespeople here have heard the legends, the stories, the myths, the rumors, the tall tales. They've heard the truth, the fabrications, everything in between about the listener parties and the listener events. And from the minute I walked into this building, they were already like, we have to schedule one of those Rick Emerson listener parties.
Right now. Let's get that going. So, oh, my God. Yeah, I was at a couple of them. Fat Tuesday one.
Yeah.
And then the other one at right off of Martin Luther on 7th or whatever that place was.
Monk off his ass. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Got a couple of... Sarah X. Dillon t-shirts. Wear them proudly still.
Excellent.
God, it's great to have you back. We finally got somebody local to listen to that just kicks butt.
Well, I do what I can. Do me a favor. You get a chance. Drop an email. Drop a phone call to the fine folks here at Johnson 970. So, good.
Definitely.
Dude, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. You spread the word. All right, brother?
Definitely will.
All right,
see
take
later,
it easy.
Rick.
All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Rob, House of Rick.
Rob, I'm lacking... Okay, I got to tell you this. And Tim really nailed it when he said we haven't even unpacked. We don't have our sound effects. I don't even have a chair. I'm just standing today. I got nothing. So I have no sound effects for anybody today. But it's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice. And I finally got a reason to start drinking at noon again.
Well,
I thought I was going to die there for a while.
Well, attention advertisers, you two could reach this prime demographic.
Well, my daughter's getting to be an early teenage, so, might want to pull your hair out.
Sure, there's some comment there that I will pass over for reasons of decorum. So, the good thing is now that I got a job, I'll actually have money to be in those poker games again.
I'll take your money anytime.
Yeah, you ain't taking anything, brother. There was this media poker game that I was part of. That I started over at Entercom over the other day. It was like Matt and Richie from promotions and those guys. And it's like, and I felt like such a loser showing up. And I just stopped going to the. It was this ongoing poker game that was radio and TV and newspaper people, and then just sort of some you did friends of the show and just we would just sort of get together. But it's like I was always the only unemployed guy there, and it's like and it was so embarrassing because I would go to these poker games, and it's like you would just count down like 3, 2, 1, and some guy would go so. You're going to be back on the air as though I was just like sitting around, like finger painting or something.
Well, as long as you bring Laura, she generally whoops your butt anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, like every guy in the entertainment industry, I have a stable woman to depend on, so.
Well, welcome back to the radio, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Later.
All right, there you go. That's Rob from the House of Rick. Should I pick that? Do I hit that button? Sure.
I guess so.
You never know. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick Emerson. This is Boba Fett.
Okay. Oh, from the listener party. Yes, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the guy who, see the personal relationship I have with my listeners? You see the close bond that I have with individual members of the Rick Emerson audience? See, some hosts, they're above that. They don't care about the people. They're not in the streets. They're not representing. They're not keeping it real. They're not about it.
Stop.
I'm just saying. So this is the guy who is at Bloodbath and Beyond who lost to... The guy, Lorne, the guy in the bunny suit in the costume contest. You were the guy who came as Boba Fett. And the geek community has never forgiven me for you not winning that contest.
No, it almost almost started a riot.
All right. Well, here's why I don't care about whether you won or not. And I'm going to explain this in 3 easy steps. And Aaron will back me up on this, by the way. This Chris, you came as Boba Fett. Now, I can say, I'm all man. But I can say this. Now, you're a good-looking man. You're an attractive... Sarah, you've met Boba Fett, Chris.
Yes,
you're
very attractive.
An attractive man. Now, you're some... What are you? You're not... What? Are you black? Are you? I can't tell. What are you?
Filipino black.
All right. So you, but I mean, you're not some pale, you know, white guy. You're not like me. You don't have the Portland moon tan going on, right? So you got the cool like caramel skin. The chicks dig that, right? Chicks. I mean, especially in a town like this, because you're not just some other guy who looks like a fish belly. I mean, you totally got like the good olive skin. The chicks totally are about that. And you got the, you know, and so you good-looking guy. Plus, you've got the geek credentials. You made the biggest, you know, the best Boba Fett costume I've ever seen. So you pretty much are firing on all cylinders, and have, you know, like, your life is better than all of our lives in like 50 different ways. So I'm not really concerned about the fact that that you didn't win the contest, because you got everything else going on for you. Have you seen the average guy who dresses like Boba Fett?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Smith without money. So you got everybody beat on that score. So.
Anyway, yeah.
So it's good to hear your voice.
It's even better to hear yours.
Well, you know, let's just...
Aww.
Sounds like we're going to make out any minute here. So, well, it's been, as Marilyn Manson would say, it's been a long, hard road out of hell. But we've, you know, it was... I got to tell you, and at the risk of just sounding like I'm down to my knees, just giving a shine to CBS Radio, I was telling Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette Week here today. This, it's a huge expression of faith by these guys, and I mean that sincerely, because there was, I mean, I was talking about the studio's not completed. They didn't have a studio. They didn't have an office. They had to create a whole new budget for us. They had to build a studio for us. They had to find workspaces for us. They had to, because they've never, I mean, they've had a pretty good station with some, you know, some stuff that was interesting, and they had
licenses. They're not hiring just one person, they're hiring three.
They hired the whole show. I mean, Matt, obviously, you know, Matt's still doing his gig over there, so he wasn't free, but it's like, you know, but they hired the core, Sarah, right, and Tim and myself, and for a station that had zero local budget, no local money, no studio, and they spent all of that money, they invested all of that in the show, and I mean, you know, on a show that's been off the air for 11 months that... You know, did it? Who knows how familiar with it they were? So it's a huge leap of faith from those guys. So we totally got to give it up to them. They really made it happen. They stepped up, as they say in the business world.
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, we appreciate it. All the fans appreciate it. We're glad that they did it. I'd like to thank them on the air. I've emailed them, told them thanks.
Cool.
And once again, thanks to you.
Excellent, my friend. Well, we thank you, and you spread the word to everybody. We're back, brother.
Definitely.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Bye. All right, that's Chris, Goldfett, et cetera. I'll tell you, do we have to break here?
We do.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Have you got that track number 2?
Oh, yes.
Let's go into the break with this. We're going to be back here in just a few. Don't fire it off quite yet. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, we'll do this little song here that I got. We're going to come back. We got Peter Carlin on the way. He's going to talk about the Sopranos. We'll do a little more news with Tim Riley. And then it's the first day, and I'm already having the bump stuff, but we will either A, do the top five comeback albums of all time, or B, we'll take a moment to talk about some of the people, we'll probably do that, take a minute to talk specifically about some of the people who made this sort of return happen, or we'll do both if we have time, but we've got all that coming up. Don't forget, Like Us at 3 and Phil Hendry at 7. It's 503-733-2970, live from Portland, Johnson 970, part of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for our good friend Jarrus and a man named Scooter.
We want to thank you, hanging on,
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It is Monday, March 13th. We are back. We are live. We are local, broadcasting from high atop the bottom of the Coin Tower in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Coming up here in a short while, we'll talk to our man Peter Carlin at the Oregonian about the last night's Sopranos. There's a whole bunch of these Sopranos. There's that polygamy show, which I didn't get a chance to watch.
Oh, Big Love.
Big Love with Bill Paxton.
And it was the season finale of Flavor of Love.
Okay.
Nobody cares.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
my wife knew what it was.
Yeah, Flavor of Flames reality show.
And in the future, everyone, why don't we have a reality show? We'll talk about that tomorrow. In the 11 months that we were off, I did a stage show, a feature film, and two television shows. All of which have come to an end one way or the other. Sarah did a TV show in addition to Coin, right? Did you do more than that? Did you do anything else on TV? You did a commercial for like AOL or somebody, didn't you?
Yeah, I did an AOL commercial and...
Were you the woman going, you know, now with improved spam filtering, or it lets me find recipes?
No, I guess it's going to be some kind of national spot. I guess it's coming out where I'm talking about how much I like the video feature on AOL or something.
Do you even know what the video feature on AOL is?
No.
Okay. And then Tim Riley...
So I had a TV show that was a flop, which only lasted for three episodes.
Excellent.
Then I was supposed to sign a contract with one of the so-called godfathers of podcasting who never sent me the contract. And it was only a couple of weeks ago that I said, my money is running out. I'm going to have to go out and get a survival job. So I went to this temp agency. And
I was one of those, too.
Well, anyway, of all places in Tennis Board, and this place is like a boiler room. These people didn't even have cubicles, so I knew I was really in for it. So she says, okay, sit down and watch the safety video. So I did. And I wasn't going to pay any attention because this is just boring. Well, little did I know there was a test on the safety video after it, and I didn't get one question right. Therefore, I was not sent on a warehouse job or any other job, and that was the end of my career as a temp. So thank goodness you called me.
Oh, God, you know what? And the people have asked about, you know, if you've been talking to these guys since June, why is the studio not done? And we started talking, because again, right after the Coffee Cup Crusade started, they contacted me. They're like, your audience is impressive, whatever. But it's like, it just takes so long in corporate America. This is not a reflection on CBS. It was the same thing when I went back to Fisher after the syndicated show. It takes so long for anything to come together. That when they finally got the word from above, it was like, yes, you know, and they rubber stamped it like, yes, Rick Emerson, yes. It was like 2 days to get the studio ready. I mean, they talked to me on Thursday, like, okay, we're going to announce it Monday, and then you're going to go an hour after that, and we'll have no time to do anything. You won't even have a chair. You okay with that? And it's like, when you're unemployed, you're just so, yes, I don't care, you know. How do you feel about broadcasting from, you know, a sewer? Yes, whatever you want. You know, you're just like so desperate. A temp agency. I didn't have a temp agency.
Uh-huh.
But I was on the, I was suckling from the unemployment in a temp. And it's like they were, like when working in radio and it's like you're on unemployment, you have to fill out these, like, what are your job skills? It's like, I have no skills. I have no skills to pay no bills. I have no demonstrable abilities at it. This is it, folks. What you hear me doing right here, making Star Wars jokes and talking about how white I am, that's it. That's all I can do. I'm not capable of doing anything else. And they have you fill out these unemployment forms. Like, what are you looking for in a job? And it's like, what you're looking for in a job is just someone who's got...
A stool!
They brought me a stool.
You got a stool.
And it's green metal flake, Engineer Sean.
I think it's stolen from Quiznos.
Hey, I've got a stool. Stool. Thank you, Sean. They've actually brought me something to sit on.
You still look kind of mini.
I'm still... It's just like my head above the counter, but I... Okay, excellent.
How will you ever reach that keyboard?
I'm able to rest my tired buttocks. Oh, thank you. I saw the best... Can I tell you, speaking of buttocks, I saw the best headline in the paper this morning. It was in the Tribune, and it was in the sports section, and the headline was just, Catcher Wanted. And I just giggled at that for like 30 seconds. What's it talking about? So to the unemployment office, though, and you have to fill out this thing listing, like, your alleged abilities. And it's like, I don't have any. This is it, man. This is all I can do. But the good news about that is, when you don't have any skills, they can't send you on any jobs.
Right. That's what happened to me.
Yeah, they can't, like, and I try to make my jobs so specific and my skills so completely specialized that they can't send me to work at, like, a meatpacking plant or anything. But you know who started emailing me, and I think that the state must sell them the list of people getting unemployment benefits. The state started emailing me postcards from those manpower places, those job for a day places, where it's like, you know, it's like they come in and they pick. It's like, you know, when you see guys waiting for the truck, You know, like it
doesn't matter if you were a CEO somewhere, you're going to go and load a truck or a boat.
You're putting stumps into a backhoe, yeah. You know, all day. That's totally what it is. And it's like my wife was so nice not to make me go on any of those jobs, but it's like, and the irony of being unemployed is, and I've talked about this before, is that you don't even take advantage of it because you're so racked with guilt. You know what I mean? It's like I have DSL, TiVo, HBO, Xbox, MP3 players. I live in Southeast, so there's whores. I got all this. I didn't do anything. Because it's like you can't be at home. And like your wife comes home from caring for the sick and infirm all day, and by the way, paying the rent. Your wife comes home and you're on the couch playing Halo 2. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony is I can't do it now either because I got a job. So, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's part of being me.
We're going to go to Tim.
Okay, well, let's go to Tim, and then we'll talk to our man, Peter Carlin. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, live from the CBS Radio Center, this is the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. One of our favorite dictators is dead. Slobodan Milosevic. How did he die? Well, a Dutch toxicologist says he was taking antibiotics that diluted prescriptions for heart ailments with high blood pressure. And, well, they don't really know how he died.
But he was taking a drug for leprosy, right?
Leprosy.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, that could happen if you spend too much time in jail.
Seriously. So, I mean, it seems like, really, you're taking a drug for leprosy. It's, you know, it's just a series of bad steps.
Anyway, we have other things going on here. First of all, we should do the penis watch, shouldn't we?
Oh, we could.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Well, here's one from Cambodia that keeps us in stitches.
Any news from Cambodia is fantastic, by the way.
A Cambodian man received 25 stitches to his penis after his wife attempted to sever the organ with scissors after a domestic dispute.
How many stitches?
25.
See, I never know. Like, when they talk about stitches, you'll hear some guy talking about an injury, and he'll go, I don't know, I had to have 40 stitches. I don't know if that's a lot or a little. Have you ever had stitches?
I'm trying to remember if I had stitches.
I never had.
You know, I wasn't the kind of kid who would get his leg severed from a train or fall out of trees. You know, my mom didn't let us leave the house for very long.
It's like you're just like kept in a metal box.
I mean, there are some kids that do that all the time.
Oh, no. He's like, everybody knows that kid on your block that, like, even at age 10, you knew he was going to die young.
You know, James is missing an eyeball. Have you seen it on the neighborhood? It's like, how can people be so stupid? But there are plenty of them out there, but I wasn't one of them.
Dude, they live in my neighborhood. That's how. I mean, it's like, I don't have the story here.
I wasn't even allowed to take off my necktie at home.
We don't have time to read it, but
you.
God, where is this news story? Woman grows penis. No. Oh, listen to this. We don't have time to. I'll just read you the headline.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the whole story tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Here's two headlines we're not going to get to read the stories for today. Here's a guarantees. Here's some stuff you can listen to tomorrow. First is this story about kids playing the deadly choking game. And apparently that's like if you don't have cable, you have to make your own fun, and so you just choke each other.
That happened in New Hampshire, as a matter of fact. They were handing out pamphlets on how not to play the choking game.
I don't understand at what point you think that's a game. The choking game doesn't even sound all that interesting. It's not, like, leave aside the fact that it's dangerous.
You don't win valuable prizes.
No. What is this game? Well, this is a kicking your friend in the junk game, you know, or, you know, whatever. This is the taking off your finger with a bandsaw game. It just sounds dull. The other great story we're not going to get to today, because the headline says it all. Boat holding 40 children hits whale. And there's a whole lot about the whale flopping around and children covered in blood. It's everything you need in the story. I almost don't want to read it now because it's like it would be anticlimactic.
Wait, this argument ensues with this fellow named Kehei Kang when he allegedly slapped his wife. As the man got into his bed, the wife came after him with scissors and attempted to cut off his penis. So that's that. Number two, this comes to us from Germany where all weird stories come from.
All right.
A German man playing with his brother's Jack Russell Terrier was hospitalized after the dog sunk its teeth into his penis.
Ew!
The dog nearly bit it off after his brother's girlfriend told it to attack as a joke. I'm not done with this one yet.
Why was he nude around a dog?
It says the woman did not even help him as he lay on the floor in agony after beating the dog because she had collapsed on the floor laughing.
That's fantastic. Can I see that for a second?
Certainly.
That's fantastic.
Thank our friends in Germany for that.
Hospitalized after the dog sunk its teeth into his face. Daniel Dietmeyer from said the dog nearly, after his brother's girlfriend told him to, quote, attack as a joke. Okay, let's think about this. So he's, you've got to be nude, right? Because even shoddy German clothing will keep teeth out. So the dog bit his manhood after his girlfriend said to attack as a joke. So he and the girlfriend and the dog were all in the room at the same time, and he was nude. And they are German. But listen,
hope of the German cannibal.
Listen to this story. And I am reading this, by the way, directly from a news site. I am reading this from news24.com. This appears to be a CBS affiliate. He is demanding substantial damages, saying the woman did not even help him as he lay on the floor in agony after beating off the dog. And then because she collapsed on the floor laughing. There's your penis watch for Monday on the...
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start.
I'll be here all week. Maybe.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
I don't know. I was told that it was some sort of news talk current event program. I had no idea that he worked blue. I got an email from somebody the other day asking me if I was going to continue to work blue. And apparently, I'm also going to work with Edie Gourmet. We're going to welcome Peter Carlin. We don't have Peter Carlin's theme either. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Starland Vocal Band. Thank you. Afternoon. Peter Carlin, TV critic for The Oregonian and pop culture critic at large. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Brother, I got a job, so all's good in my world.
Yeah, you know, you put me on hold like last April, and I've been sitting here ever since. So, like, what's going on?
Sorry. I'm sorry. The last April, we went off on a Thursday, and I don't remember what, because you were supposed to be on the next day to talk about something. I don't remember what it was now, but I mean, it is one of those things where time has sped up and slowed down all at once. And it's been a weird time tunnel that we've been in. But I do want to say a couple things. That Christy Turnquist from the Oregonian did a great article about that coffee cup crusade last year, and that really is the spark that's the reason we're back on the air, is that article and the Tribune did a nice piece. And then Jonathan Nicholas, we would give that guy a shout-out. Jonathan Nicholas, who doesn't like anything. I mean, he hates everything, and yet he ran this really nice piece about us last Friday, so I got to give it up to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down, and I figured it was just going to be some hit piece, because every time I read an article, he's just cutting some guy up. But he was really good. So thanks to your paper, Peter.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure to serve.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So... Well, let's talk about a couple things. First of all, let's talk about The Sopranos.
Okay.
So The Sopranos returned last night. They've been gone for what, like 18 months?
Nearly 2 years.
And this is... Now, is this the sixth season? I can never tell with those guys.
Sixth, yes.
And this is the sixth and last season. Am I right about that?
Sort of, kind of. They're going to do, like, what I think amounts to 6.5 seasons. They're going to do 12 episodes this spring. And then they're going to come back in January for, I believe, 8 more.
And so they're just dragging it out as long. That's totally where they're just trying to exploit that audience for everything, which I guess is fine. I mean,
that is like the most cynical and ugly way you could have possibly put that.
I'm not. I'm just saying, look, I'd do the same thing if I were them.
I think if they wanted to drag it out as long as possible, they would have signed a long-term deal and gone on for another 5 or 10 years.
Maybe. No, look, you're talking to a guy who starts teasing stuff at 12:05 that I never do. So, I mean, look, I'm all about dragging it out. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm here to tell you that, and I've seen the first 4 episodes so far.
Oh, you bastard. How? Oh, that's right, TV.
I'm all hooked up.
We did the hook a brother up.
And it is pretty breathtaking.
I remember once upon a time there was a TV critic in the Oregonian who slid a couple episodes of The Shield my way before they aired. Whatever happened to that TV critic?
They fired him. That's why they fired him.
I probably can't even. You probably couldn't give me those if you wanted to, actually, because they're so intense about, like, not taking anything from anybody for free. So they probably wouldn't even let me watch those. But you've seen the first 4, and because last night's season premiere was, it was so good. And, by the 6th season, they, by all rights, should be sucking by now.
Yeah.
You know, by the rules of television. Because the 3rd season is when shows start to, you know, by the third or 4th season, they're starting to go downhill. And so, again, tune out if you don't want to know what happened last night. But last night, I mean, they packed so much in. They introduced this character. Who have we met this guy before? The guy who hung himself?
You know, I don't believe so. You know, I didn't recognize him. I mean, they always have an array of, you know, Goomba-type dudes running around. But he was, I believe that was a brand-new character.
And they introduce this guy, and he's just some capo or some thug, like an enforcer.
Yeah.
And he wins $2 million.
His auntie or his grandmother leaves it to him.
Right, so he leaves $2 million. So he's independently wealthy, and so he wants to leave the life and move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony or Sylvia or so, they say no. And at the same time that we find out he's an informer.
Yeah.
So he's in a rock and a hard place. And so I was thinking, my prediction was, this is how they're going to start. We're going to go into motion with him eventually trying to take out Tony in retribution. And then they totally just brought it back, and then they had him kick the chair out and hang himself.
Right.
I never saw it coming.
No. It was a very graphic and unpleasing to watch hanging scene.
Totally. So I'll tell you what, because I don't want to run out of time, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk about what they did at the end of the episode, which just blew me away. And then, have you seen Big Love?
Yes.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. So, because I know you've waited since April, we're going to immediately take a break again.
Okay.
So hang on. Peter Carlin from
next year.
Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. We will continue around the corner. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about The Sopranos. We'll talk about Big Love, et cetera. We got about 17 minutes until Lycus. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show right here in Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, Johnson 970 AM, a proud part of the CBS radio family. 503-733-2970. Proud to be here serving our loyal but incredibly tiny audience. Appreciate you coming by today. We have returned. Monday, March 13th is what it is, 2006. We are back. I will try to squeeze in a few more phone calls for the top of the hour. Talking with Peter Carlin, TV critic extraordinaire from the Oregonian. All right, so we're talking about last night's Sopranos. So they have this guy hang himself, and you're right, it was unpleasant. I mean, it took like a good 30 seconds for that guy to expire.
Yeah.
It was not fun to watch.
Yeah.
And
seems a little bit like he changed his mind.
Yes. Oh, he's doing like a scrabbling. Like
the choking game.
It's like the kids in their zany death games in Pensacola. So that happens, and I'm thinking, well, that sucked. I'm glad the rest of the episode won't be unpleasant. And this Uncle Junior thing, Tony's Uncle Junior is the deteriorating of his mental state. And they did this kind of sinister thing where they had him lose like part of his teeth, like his upper plate or something.
Yeah.
So he's kind of got this creepy, weird look anyway, because, you know, people without their teeth look a little strange. And he's, that's weird. He looks all kind of, he has that face, has that caved in look. And he's going nutty, wandering around the house, you know, like Baby Jane style. And the next thing you know, Tony's down there making food. Junior comes down the stairs, mutters something at a time, and shoots Tony Soprano in the stomach.
Yep.
And I had no... When you sat down to watch it, did you know? Did you have an inkling that was going to happen?
Nope.
I mean, it blew me away. I couldn't. And see, any other show would have done that as some lame season-ending cliffhanger.
Right.
But it is the strength of David Chase and those guys' competence as show creators that they did it as the opening. I mean, it's just... I couldn't... It's almost unfair to ask you to comment because you've seen the next three episodes. But I mean... But comment.
That's unfair. It's obviously it's a large part of the next three episodes, and there's a long time where it can kind of go either way in terms of where he's going to go. As the doctor says up front to Carmela, I think in episode two, we're probably not looking at a good outcome here. And so, you know, you kind of got to deal with that. But meanwhile, he's off in a coma somewhere, kind of having this really bizarre dream that is hugely significant in terms of, I believe, where the show is headed this year.
And I know, I mean, I already know that, I mean, anybody who's read an interview with David Chase, that they're probably not gonna kill him or anything, at least not as far as I know, because Chase, I saw him interviewed somewhere, and they said, would you be amenable to doing a movie of this? And he goes, I might do a Sopranos movie someday. So that kind of indicates that the season probably won't end with killing Tony. But
the
hell do I know?
It could be that goes, that takes place in some other time.
It's possible. Who knows? And AJ's looking all thugged out and like a waste.
Oh, he's a total waste case.
Yeah. I mean, I used to root for them just to have him killed on the show because he was so unbelievably annoying to me.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Which I guess is the mark of, I mean, that's probably how kids are. You have kids, they're unbelievably annoying, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I root to have them killed all the time. No, that was just a quick, and that's a content-free remark. Yeah, no, but, you know, but the thing is, I mean, here's the thing.
That's going to turn up in a therapy session somewhere with one of your daughters.
Yeah, 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Or in some sort of official district attorney writ against me. You go back to, like, one of the first lines in the first episode that ran last night of this season where Tony says, family's the only thing you can depend on.
Right.
You know, that is, like, the significant line. That tells you exactly where this show is headed this year. And I mean, but because, you know, as I said in the story that was in the paper yesterday, yes, you can depend on them, but depend on them to do what exactly?
Right.
And in Tony's case, I mean, all of his problems stem from his family. And, you know, and you heard a lot of that in the session with Dr. Melfi last night, where she says, you know, he's there still sort of wanting to take care of Uncle Junior, even though Uncle Junior wanted to have him whacked.
Tried to have him killed.
Tried to have him killed. And clearly, you know, he's there saying, well, you know, he's just willing to forgive that, or he thinks it maybe was his fault for being kind of a pill. And, you know, and she says, you're blaming me yourself again. Like, how sick is this? And then he goes to Junior's house to make him dinner and be, you know, not have him sent away, even though he's obviously losing his marbles. And he's paid back when Uncle Junior comes and guns him down.
I could not believe, I mean, very, you hear that phrase, but my jaw hit the floor, but it really did. And
yeah.
And the people on the show who are irritating, I mean, that's a hallmark of how well done that show is, and that Janice Soprano immediately comes to mind.
Yeah.
Who just, you just want to, I mean, look, I don't advocate violence against women or anybody, but you just want to punch her in the face repeatedly. I mean,
but you don't, because then she'll come and shoot you five times in the chest like she did to Richie April.
Totally, she'll come and have me killed.
Yeah.
So, Janice is an archetype, and I don't even know how to describe her.
She complained later about how she'd lost her lover. It's like, yes, you did, because you shot it five times in the chest.
She is such an archetype in that I think all of us have known someone who was a Janice. I mean, everybody has known a woman just like that.
Yeah.
That is sort of alternately, you know, vengeful, but, like, weirdly, like, maternal in this sort of martyr type way. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's very much her mother's daughter, obviously.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and a complete iteration of... There's the beautiful thing about that show is the fact that there are no wasted references or moments for a show. And that's why, you know, they take 2 years between series.
Yeah.
And it's a damn, you know, it's a great, you know, obviously you see the results and the fact that when it does come back, it's jaw-droppingly great.
It makes everything else look like crap. I taped, but I have not watched Big Love yet, the Bill Paxton polygamy show. So what's the word on that? It's him and it's Chloe Savini, right, and some other people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gene Triplehorn, maybe?
Gene Triplehorn and...
It's an unpleasant name.
Hmm. I suppose.
Triplehorn sounds like some sort of skin disease.
She ought to change it to Emerson.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything ought to be Emerson.
it's pretty good. I saw it, you know, I've actually seen the first three or four episodes of that, too. And it's, you know, I don't know. I kind of felt less immediately drawn to it. There's something a little creepy about that whole milieu. Because they're sort of like Mormons who aren't really Mormons. Because, like, every time, you know, at the beginning of the show, there's this hugely long statement, like, you know, the Mormon Church, you know, outlawed polygamy in 1890, and these people aren't Mormon, don't even think they're Mormon, even though they live in Utah.
Oh, I see. They do live in Utah.
They do.
I didn't know that.
They're kind of, you know, I think the deal is there's, like, all these kind of fundamentalist, weird sort of mountain type of branch operations, and they're kind of stemmed from one of those.
So you think it's worth a watch, though?
Sure. Yeah, you can check it out. I mean, yeah, check it out. It's sort of interesting. And here's the thing. What I like about the first three, four episodes, I mean, it's like a drama. It doesn't include, like, violence.
Right.
I mean, as much as I love The Sopranos, yeah.
It's character.
95% of all these dramas, like, are pinned to or revolve off of violence.
Totally. Speaking of violence, we're just so up against it today, but speaking of violence, when we come back here's a tease. Next Monday, when we talk to you, we're going to talk S.H.I.E.L.D., my friend.
Okay.
Because the S.H.I.E.L.D. is... I mean, it's given Sopranos a run for its money and has been for a long time. But the S.H.I.E.L.D. is, this season S.H.I.E.L.D. is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. So we're going to talk about that. So I Peter Carlin, you can read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com. Peter, it's been like 11 months, so thanks for coming back.
Hey, yeah, no, my pleasure. It's great to have you back, and I'm glad all you guys are back. And I saw I was very taken with that little film that you guys did. It's on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Right?
Yeah, you can see it at rickemerson.com. That's Joni DeRoshi who directed Bigger Than Jesus.
Like, oh, is that Joni? The girl who's scared of me.
Yeah, she's terrified.
I can figure that out. What I do.
It's because she's afraid of your love. It's because you're too... She's all a quiver when she thinks of you. I've said too much. I should go.
But the part I love the most is like when Sarah, you guys are like these sinister people, like you're like a bunch of gangsters.
Yes.
Yeah, we're very scary.
And then Sarah does that thing where she like fires up that cigarette,
yeah.
Like this whole, and you can hear it like little crackling away.
It's our John Woo moment. Yeah.
It is like the man can't bust my emphysema.
Peter Carlin, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
There you go. There's Peter Carlin. Yeah.
Wow, he even sounded positive.
That is Joni DeRoshi and Aaron Geek in the City and our good friend Jarrus Minsky, who made that film.
Early on a Sunday morning.
All right. We got, like, no time. Let's really quickly, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Storm Large, Storm in the Balls. Hey.
Thank God you're back.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm okay. It's been a bit of a day, kind of a blur.
I bet. I know you got to make this quick because you're wrapping it up. I just wanted to say that on behalf of Davey Nipples, all the balls, and myself, I am stunned that public outcry actually brought about a change. I'm so happy.
It really did, and it's true. It sounds like a cliche, but the people really did this. They are the ones who made it happen.
Oh, thank heaven. Yeah. I haven't really been able to listen because you've been talking about the Blinkin' Sopranos, and I haven't seen the first episode.
Oh.
I had to work last night. So
yeah.
Every time I turn on, and Uncle Junior.
Yeah.
And then Tony did this thing, and I'm like, God! Oh, I haven't been able to listen, but I know it's been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to many, many, many more afternoons with you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Well, you are a huge friend of the show. We love you. We'll have to have you in the studio soon. We look forward to doing stuff with you and just having and knowing you're out there and knowing that you guys are spreading the word. It means a lot.
Absolutely, man.
Right.
Keep it up.
Thank you, Storm.
Take care.
All right. There you go. There's Storm Lodge. Let's really quickly grab our man, Dennis Pitzenbarger. From the, the Portland Tribune, the Fuel Guys, and the show on Channel 14 now. Dennis, how are you?
I am doing well. I am like a little camper in his warm blanket now that I can hear you back on the air.
Yes, well, I try to please.
Well, the only thing I can say is, one, it doesn't sound like you guys have missed a beat. I, again, have to agree with Storm. The public outcry that you are back on the air shows that we can't, as people, get the things we want if we love them enough. And, of course, I... would be perfect that you got back on the air the day I got my $175,000 Bentley Continental Flying Spur.
So yeah, okay. All right, that's
I'm
going
to stick all my right. feet in Grey Poupon and listen to the end of the show.
Excellent. There you go, Dennis Pitzenbarger. All right, I know we're coming up on it here. There's a million people we haven't thanked. But we want to thank, again, Joni DeRoshi and Aaron Duran, who put together that video for us. We want to thank, obviously, everybody at CBS Radio, Mark Whalen, everybody on down who believed in the show and who put us back on the air. And I know that everybody out there, and I don't want to start naming individual listeners because then I'm going to be like that Oscar person who leaves out their husband. So I want to thank everybody out there from all of us, everybody who emailed, wrote, dropped off a coffee cup, put stuff in the back of their car, created bumper stickers, wore shirts. Everybody out there that was part of this, because, again, it is absolutely true that you guys are the ones who made this happen. You guys are the ones who brought the show back. We will see you again tomorrow. For Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley, I'm Rick Emerson. We will see you tomorrow at 12 noon. This is the Rick Emerson Show, live, local, on Johnson 970, part of the CBS radio family. We are glad to be back, as always. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow, and thank you. Bye.